The chairman of Atari has a motto he'd like us to follow. So Atari is going to show you that despite its image, IBM charges too much for the memory it gives you. That Apple Macintosh Plus costs far too much for the memory it gives you. Atari won't do that to be malicious, but to demonstrate that the Atari ST is nothing less than the best value in personal computers. Who's going to win the computer war? Stay tuned.
The Atari ST, Commodore Amiga, Commodore 64. Oh, don't tell me. Microsoft. Yeah.
The following podcast is given a universal rating. Yippee.
Please wait.
Podcast.
Please wait.
Welcome to Series 2, Episode 4 of Podcast. Going to be talking about the Atari ST. And the Atari ST had the Yamaha YM2149 chip. Yay! Just like the Amstrad CPC and the Spectrum. But, of course, this wasn't early 80s. This was late 80s. The Atari ST was developed 3 months before the... Well, came out 3 months before the Amiga did. Surely it must have been better. None of that blippy, bloppy stuff. Surely? Give me strength. Sometimes I wonder why I bother doing this bloody podcast.
Technical difficulties. Please wait.
Of course I'd never leave you. No matter how the music goes, I'm always going to be here arranging the music. But you must admit, that tune was crap. Yeah, I'll leave you with one more blip-bloppy action thing, and then we'll go on to the more chip-burning stuff that'll really stand the test of time. Okay, so why would you choose the Atari ST over the Amiga? Well, first of all, it was the first of the two. It's a 3 month difference, and the Atari came first. Even though it had the primitive sound chip, which you could buy out of the shop, unlike the Amiga, which was custom built, the Atari ST had an inbuilt MIDI port, which meant that serious musicians couldn't really be caring about what's in the machine. They'd be using their own keyboards, and the Atari was perfect for actually doing all the sort of legwork, the slave work. Secondly, the Atari was a lot cheaper. Let's see, I think the Atari was under the $1,000 mark, and the Amiga was about $1,500. Not nice. What's going on later on in this program? Well, we've got, at the moment, Turrican, the main title, or it's the first level. I'm not sure. We have a bit of Tim Follin, and quite a lot of Jochen Hippel, or Jochen Hippel, or just Jay Hippel, who basically did a lot of the good music that you hear on the Atari ST. So there's quite a good proportion of him in this program. We've also got a couple of demos, which is quite nice, and another little exclusive from Jean-Michel Jarre. Actually, let's listen to another advert.
Let's compare the Macintosh Plus with the Atari 1040 ST. Note the Atari screen is much bigger.
9-inch versus 12 or 14 inches.
And the Atari is in color, good for drawing fruit, let's say. Both use a simple point-and-click system, but Atari's designers make it do more. Listen, the music you're hearing is Atari's, the only one with a built-in MIDI.
Inbuilt MIDI plus YM chip versus system beeper.
How much more does all this from Atari cost? Fact is, Atari costs less, one half less.
Oh, that's nice. I'm in the mood for some angry Australian guy.
Let's compare the Macintosh SE with the Atari Mega 2 computer. The Atari screen is much bigger and in color, good for drawing fruit, let's say. Both use a simple point-and-click system with hundreds of business solutions available. Yet Atari's designers make it do even more. It has twice the memory and listen. This music was created on the Atari, the only one with built-in MIDI. How much more does all this from Atari cost? Fact is, Atari costs less, about one half less.
So, okay, the Atari ST was good because it was one off less. But we're doing a YM chip, which is a copy of the AY chip used on the 8-bit computers. Why am I bothering? Well, the YM chip was twice the speed, or was running at twice the speed of the previous ones. The Amstrad CPC was running at 1 MHz, I think this was running at 2. So this led to more control commands, faster reading, meant that you could get more musical effects going on, you could be faster, meant that you could make more things more twiddly, change instruments much quicker, twice as fast. Yeah, let's prove it with some two nice tunes by Jay Hippel. What a surprise. First off, Wings of Death, into which you heard the loader earlier on. This is a level tune. Not the Atari ST. Just to make sure. We'll be right back. And now the title tune to Grand Monster Slam, which I don't know what the heck it's about. It looks like a pinball machine and monsters. Tune!
Track was made possible by Tim Follin and his magical hat.
Yes, no computer or console was safe from the wondrous fingers of Tim Follin. Well, maybe the Atari 2600. Let's move on from that anyway. What's coming up next? Well, in 1990, Atari, a bit fed up by the fact that the Amiga was getting all the money because of all the wondrous music and PCM, decided to produce the STE. The E's for enhanced. Whoopee. So, the 1632 enhanced actually added with another custom chip providing two channels of PCM sound, which allowed it to be on par with Amiga. Thing was, the critics knew that this was only to just meet with the Amiga, not compete with it. Anyway, this meant that musicians could sort of take a break, and work was a bit easier for them. One of these workers that took it a bit easy was Mr. Richard Joseph, thinking, oh, I can now code some music for the Atari ST. And as he was doing the music for Gods on the Amiga, he also did it for the Atari ST, because all it was just porting samples and mod. So here is the mod, which would have worked for both of them. Note that the Atari version would be a bit more noisier, as it wasn't as good as the Amiga. Oh well.
Into the wonderful.
The wonderful. Into the wonderful. Into the wonderful.
for effect. Told you's for effect. Bet it worked, but it did work. I know music, I'm great. Sorry, enough back-patting myself, which I can do. Yay. Jay Hippel, Hipple, Malt Hopson, whatever his name is, produced this little ditty called Asteroth for the game Asteroth, which I don't know whether it was controversial or not, but it's got titties on the title screen. Gasp. So what else did he do? There's Dragonflight, which I'll show you in a moment, and well, actually, listen to the rest of this. It's pretty neat. Talk to you later. Okay, back to where I was. This is Dragonflight, the title by Jay Malt Hopson, whatever his name is. It's another little twinkly, wonderful little tune that I like. It goes on for quite a few minutes, so I suggest you put the kettle on, I guess. I'll tell you what's coming up next. Around the late 80s, I think it was 89, there was a game by ERE International, I think, originally French, might not have been, might have been British, called Captain Blood. And the thing was, you woke up and found out that in the galaxy there's 10 replicants of you, each draining your life energy. So of course, in that wonderful human instinct, you go out and find your 10 replicants and kill each one of them. However, each planet in your galaxy, of course, speaks a different language. But don't worry, you've got a special little translational thing using pictures. So, they use pictures to communicate to you, you use pictures to communicate to them. What's the trouble? Well, each one wants something, or they have a different grammatical structure. It gets pretty tricky, and I'm pretty sure you get fed up with it after a few hours. Oh, and apparently there's this wonderful effect where, since your life energy is being drained away, as time passes without you killing a replicant, the actual pointer that you use, which is your finger in the game, shakes until it goes absolutely crazy and you can't actually control the control panel anymore, which I assume means you're dead. Why am I rambling on about this? Well, the title music was done by a certain famous person called Jean-Michel Jarre. Actually, I'll let you listen to the rest of this, because this is also wonderful. And then I'll pose a question to you. Thank you. I'm sure you've heard of Oxygen 4, or Un, deux, trois, Oxygen 4, yeah. Try and guess which song this came from. After it performs the world's longest fade, of course. Come on. If you said ethnic colour, then you were right. Have a banana. Yes, hello again. Okay, despite the Atari ST trying its absolute hardest to sort of be one step ahead, even though it was cheaper, even though it was more supported by the businesses, the Amiga pulled through. I mean, Babylon 5 was known for its visual effects being created by a whole load of Amigas in a daisy chain, working out each frame on video toaster. The Atari, well, they released a Genlock edition, but it was too late. People just curved onto the Amiga, and it looked like Amiga was going to be the wonderful multimedia computer of the future. But then PC parts got cheaper, and then Commodore went bust, and of course the Amiga went down the wonderful slippery slope of Minimig. But I mean, they had a good try. Though I must admit, sometimes even the Commodore 64 beat the whole thing. It's a bit of a shame. I mean, listen to this. This is the same bit from Lotus 3 that I showed on the Amiga podcast when I was pulling that fakey. Yeah, fakey with a heart attack. Next up, I'm going to show you an effort from Wally Baben, who did Tetris on the C64. Wally Baben tried to do the music that Barry Leach was doing on the C64 for R-Type, except he managed to get his music through, Leach didn't, and was replaced with Hoonspec. So let's see how Wally Baben kept the original soundtrack in the Atari ST version of R-Type.
Thank you.
inferior compared to the Amiga or the Commodore 64. Not inferior to the Amstrad CPC because that had no sound. Anyway, I'm going to cut things short today and leave you with this Martin Galway remix, and then I'm going to leave you with a demo. Not requested by anybody except for me. If you listened to the C64 episode, you'd have heard... I think you did. Actually, no, I don't think you did. Sanction. Have any of you heard of it? By Hop Rubbard, anyway. Sanction, your little space shooter thingy that, as far as I know, it wasn't released for the Atari ST, but someone did decide to port the music. The entire Fala music for it. It's quite nice, and it is a bit grindy and a bit lo-fi, but come on, let's give it a chance. I mean, the Atari was good. It had some things. They were nice. Inferior to the Amiga. But we'll say no more on that. It had a darn good try. I've been GGU Draco. You've been listening to Podcast Series 2, Episode 4. This was recorded using Audacity and a SoundMax internal sound card because the Audigy 2 is inside a box. The next episode is the Commodore 16, but also the Commodore Plus 4. I'm going to combine them into one because they use the same hardware, just different memory. Since the entire show has been requested by Fury from Slay Radio IRC, I'm afraid I cannot accept requests for this episode. But if there's any other computers, consoles, anything, any requests, any comments, anything that you want to talk about. In fact, in the pod flip, I want to talk about your childhood memories. What did you have? What was your first computer? What was your favourite games? What did you think? How was your access to computing begun? Drop me a line. pohd-cahst@podomatic.com. Or you could just look at the show notes or the Podomatic podcast webpage or the RSS feed. You'll find some contact information there. Subscribe to the RSS feed. It's quite nice. Download the show. Show it to your friends. Doll. Anyway, I will see you then, and I will leave you with Sonic Solutions' version of Fala Music by Hob Rubbard. That was wonderful. Actually, Mr. Atari ST, what did you think of it?
Wonderful.
See? What did I tell you?